With us on the phone is a woman that sounds like, and we've never met, but I want to go to one of her parties. One of the funnest women on the face of this earth. Her name is Allie Willis. She has a grand opening of the Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch. But this woman, her life to this point has been incredibly fun.
Grammy winner. She wrote Boogie Wonderland.
September.
She also wrote The Neutron Dance. Allie, is that correct?
Absolutely, except there's no the on it, just Neutron. But I'll take it any way I can get it.
Now, before we get into the Kitsch thing, tell us, you used to write for James Brown or collaborate with him.
We met in 1985 when he was kind of in a very low period. This was before Living in America, and I just got a call one day saying, would you like to meet James Brown? And I said, yes. And they said, fine, he'll be there in 45 minutes. So, literally, it was thrilling, and we spent a lot of time together that year. No songs that actually came out, but just a lot of kind of shaking up his head and getting him back in the groove.
Was he a good guy to you?
He was absolutely amazing to me. He had the funniest stories in the world. He talked, like, incessantly, and I videoed every single second of it. And then when he had his big comeback and they used to ask him what studio he wanted to film in L.A., he would always choose my place, which is, you know, in the little bedroom in my house. But he absolutely said it was the best sounding room in L.A., which I agree with.
Allie is also, and we're going to want to get back to more James Brown stories, but she's also responsible for a staple of television themes, and that is the Friends theme, I'll Be There For You. You wrote that?
I co-wrote that with Michael Skloff. And, you know, no one ever expected that to be a hit. And it was some DJs down south that just made a cassette off the TV and started playing it. But despite the fact that it was the number one airplay record of 1994, it was never, ever released as a single because the Rembrandts couldn't deal with the fact that...
That was their biggest...
It wasn't solely their song.
Right. So. I heard they didn't want to play it in concert.
Yeah, which is, you know... Come on, don't bite the hand that feeds.
Exactly. Now, I wanted to ask you, Allie, you grew up in Detroit, and it says here you were discovered by Bonnie Raitt and Patti LaBelle. How does one go about getting discovered?
I'm still waiting to be discovered.
I don't know.
Bonnie Raitt, a friend of mine was doing a background vocal session with her in 1974, and my first 10 songs that I ever wrote actually were on an album called Child Star, which was on Epic Records. And the day I found out I was being dropped, my best friend, who had the background session with Bonnie Raitt, said, you know, I don't want to leave you alone. Just come to this session. And as luck would have it, Bonnie Raitt was like the one person who had bought my album.
Wow.
So she literally fell to her knees the second I walked in. And sent me home and said, you know, write some songs. I called up a friend of mine who was a Bonnie Raitt freak. We wrote 3 songs that night. She cut one the next day. You know, it was like a Hollywood story.
Wow.
But then there were many years that went by where, you know, I'd get a couple of records cut a year, nothing significant. And then the very same friend who was Sharon Redd, she was one of the Harlettes, one of Bette Midler's Harlettes, got a deal with her group, the Harlettes. And they flew to San Francisco. Their record producer was also producing Patti LaBelle, who then heard my demos because the Harlettes had a lot of them. And then she paid for me to fly up to San Francisco with a producer named David Rubinson.
Oh, sure.
And that, you know, started literally, you know, the first artist to regularly start cutting my stuff. She introduced me to Herbie Hancock, who was also working at the same studio at the time. Mm. I wrote a bunch of stuff with him, And then within about 6 months, Earth, Wind, and Fire happened. And then once that happened, it exploded. I was as close to welfare as one could be at the beginning of 1978. And by the end of 78, I had sold 10 million records, but I was still getting food stamps.
Wow.
And Medi-Cal because the royalties were so delayed.
Wow.
So.
Well, I mean, obviously Boogie Wonderland is a huge hit, but for me, September is one of their greatest songs.
Yeah, that's the one I'm partial to the most because it was also my first hit, but that song makes people so happy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's so good. All right, let's get into this kitsch thing. Now, in your life, I mean, you discovered the Del Rubio triplets. What needs to be said?
Yeah, thank you very much. You guys know your stuff.
Now, tonight, there is a kickoff party, but explain to us exactly what, it's a kitsch thing, but try to explain to us what's going on.
Well, I have been collecting mainly, I started collecting things from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, kind of very modern things, and radio, TV, film memorabilia. Mm. And I started art directing a lot of music videos in the late 80s, and those sets tended to be more and more kitschy. Kitschy meaning things that spring out of pop culture, but aren't things necessarily that people were encouraged to make when it happened. Like a perfect example today is the Snuggie. You know, that cheap fleece thing with the sleeves.
Sure, right.
Like, how many of that guy's friends said, ooh, that's fantastic.
You know? Right.
And then the joke's on us, because he, you know, sold it to Walmart, made $14 million the first year, and now they even have dog Snuggies.
Wow,
you know?
Wow.
Or, like, things, products that celebrities kind of have their name on that really have nothing to do with, you know, the celebrity. There's an incongruity to it. There's a naivete that goes in.
The George Foreman grill?
George Foreman's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely perfect. But I don't make fun of these things. I absolutely glorify them because the person got it together to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just started collecting more and more of this stuff. And then at the beginning of this year, started a blog called Allie Willis's Kitsch of the Day, where I would take one item from my collection every day, you know, spotlight it, show, you know, tell a little story about it. And I started reposting it on Facebook, and then the audience for this just built and built. And I started developing a social network in 1992. I was on the Internet really, really early. And in those days, you had to explain to people what the Internet was and that, you know, assure them that it would be around.
Mm.
So I worked for that almost through all of the 90s, eventually dropped it, co-wrote the Color Purple musical, and then decided after that, you know, it's time to go back to all these ideas I was doing almost 20 years ago. Because now everyone understands the value of a social network. They understand that the Internet is here to stay. So I thought these kitsch items, they're so crazy, and they inspire people to talk so much. Oh, I had that as a kid. Or let me tell you when I, you know, first found that James Brown bubble gum or whatever it is. And it really gets people to loosen up. So I thought, well, this, if I combine the kitsch with all these social network ideas, maybe something will happen here. So that's really what the Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch is, which is at awmok.com. And it's just, you know, very cool people with very cool things, you know, everyone talking about the stuff. And then the party at Ghetto Gloss is, you know, really just, I really believe in fused physical and virtual space. So that actually has all of the items that have been in the Kitsch of the Day blog so far. There's like 150 things that are on display there. And then tonight is the 21st night of September, which is the opening line of that song.
I remember that.
Yeah. So we're having really crappy karaoke versions of only that song.
Nice.
The entire night. So I'm most excited about that.
Allie, would it be fair to say that you're kind of the Andy Warhol of kitsch?
Well, I certainly love that description, yeah. A lot of my friends actually call me Martha Warhol, because a combination of Martha Stewart and Andy Warhol. So.
Now, are people allowed to physically come to your museum, or is it just a website visit?
Well, the real museum the you know this, the real museum and social network is at AWMOK. The exhibition at Ghetto Gloss has actually been going on for a week, so they were, but now they're kind of not. You know.
All right, let's go to Michael on line 2. He's got a question for you, okay. Allie. Allie Willis on the phone. Michael.
Good morning, Allie. Good morning,
hey.
Everybody.
Hey.
Allie, I have a question for you that I never thought I would ever ask anyone, and that is, can you talk about two things? One is your Mr. T piggy bank, and the other one is The Color Purple.
yes, and don't ask me how much I love having those two things in the same conversation.
Yeah, really.
That's exactly what my brand of kitsch is. Very, very high art combined with very, very low. The Mr. T, you know, there's tons of Mr. T memorabilia. He, you know, really, they went to town with Mr. T. But the piggy bank is almost a life-size head, this really hard plastic head. It sounds like the Grand Canyon when you, like, drop coins in there.
Right.
And, I mean, I love it because they have every wrinkle in his face, everything. So that's the bank, and that's one of the more rare pieces of Mr. T memorabilia.
Now, when you drop a coin in, does it say, I pity the fool?
Or? I wish it did.
Yeah.
See, they did not go that extra mile. What is the cheapest way of producing this item?
And The Color Purple, didn't realize you'd written that.
Yes, I co-wrote that with Brenda Russell, Stephen Bray, and Marcia Norman. And we spent 5 years writing it. Opened on Broadway in December 2005. Still on national tour with a lot of the original Broadway cast. Comes back to L.A. with Fantasia, who is unbelievable as Celie.
Oh, wow.
In March, I think. That was just seriously an unbelievable thing to be a part of. It's just, you know, it's an absolutely beautiful book. People, you know, had very strong attachment to the movie. I am indebted forever to black culture. That's always been where my breaks have been. I'm a white Jewish girl.
Yeah.
And got to work with two Pulitzer Prize winning authors, Alice Walker and Marcia Norman. So it just was an incredible journey. And me, who was never interested in the theater, never interested in musicals, didn't understand why people broke into song or how they could stand doing the same thing every night. It completely changed my feeling about that medium. In a way, it's the most dangerous medium because you're live all the time.
Right.
So that's kind of thrilling to see the work reinterpreted every night.
Allie, just one more thing. I've always thought, not understanding really what kitsch is, I thought kitsch was whatever you think it is. Would a lava lamp be kitsch?
Yes. It's almost too commercial and popular to be within kind of my area of interest, but you're 100% right that kitsch is what you think it is. A lot of people have a very different interpretation of kitsch.
Right.
That it's far more bombastic or bad taste. You know, I'm more on the Doris Day side of things.
Oh, sure. All right, well, we have something in our green room that you would die to have.
I'll be right over.
We have an Elvis Presley lamp.
Oh.
It is a bust from chest up of Elvis wearing the big collar shirt, the black hair, and then a lampshade on his head.
Oh, well, that sounds beautiful. I hope that the likeness is kind of off.
Oh, it's beyond off.
Well, then you must take a photo of it and submit it to awmok.com.
We absolutely will.
Please, I beg of you. You would be beyond so popular.
It actually looks more like Ed Ames.
Oh, God, I know exactly. And he had that kind of that head and that slick hair.
That's it.
Oh.
Well,
I've got to see it.
Allie, this has been really fun talking to you.
Well, a supreme pleasure talking to both of you, the kings of radio.
Well, check it out. It's, if you want to see the Museum of Kitsch, it's awmok.com. Allie, an honor. Congratulations with everything and persevere.
Okay, thank you. Love you guys.
See Talk ya. To you soon, Allie.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of fun.
I think we should send the Elvis lamp to her.
No question.
Get it out of the green room.
Absolutely. And get the thing up there. All right, we'll do business. Stay where you are. It is the Mark and Brian Radio Program. 95.5 KLOS.
Look at all the fun we're having without you.
Go to markandbrian.com and click Photo Wall.